It looks like I have the mic. So just checking if you can hear me. Great. Yeah, so the awakeness that is always here, always already here. And actually, awakeness or awareness is just a fundamental quality, an ever-present quality of what is always here, which is beyond description, beyond words, but you could maybe call it being or presence. And it's not the only quality. Awareness is a fundamental quality, but also that presence that is always here has a space to it. It is spacious. It has dimension. It is made up of space, you could say. It also has the quality of aliveness. It is dynamic. It is moving. It is alive. And then two others that I'll talk about later in the course are its discriminating, which is kind of an interesting, subtle quality of our being, of our awakeness, and oneness. There's only one. There's just one being here. And these are different but simultaneous aspects of this one mysterious presence that we all are. And so they're all present all the time. Awareness is always spacious. Space is always aware. Awareness is always alive. Awareness is always discriminating. It's always noticing differences. And it's always one. There's always just one. And as Regina kind of mentioned, I like to stress that these qualities of our true nature are present even in a very contracted or ordinary or limited experience. If there's an experience, then there's awareness. You can't have experience without awareness. If there is an experience, there is space. If there is an experience, it's always changing. It's alive. And so just as a single drop of water has all of the fundamental qualities of water, it's wet, it's liquid, it has a specific surface tension, it freezes at 32 degrees, just like a lake of water freezes at 32 degrees. So just as a single drop of water has all the qualities of water, your awareness in this moment, your awareness in every moment has all of these qualities. They're always available to notice, to pay attention to be curious about. And when we give them attention, they can naturally or spontaneously open up, possibly even expand into an experience of awakening. But it's not really necessary. As I said last week, awakening is really more a function of grace. It's just something that happens to us. One of my teachers, Adyashanti, used to say that awakening is an accident. And then he said, there's nothing you can do to cause it. But he went on to say, but you can make yourself more accident prone. And so paying attention to your direct experience, your present moment experience of awareness and space and the sense of aliveness in your being, the capacity you have for discrimination, to whatever degree there's a sense of oneness or at least connectedness, feeling connected to something beyond yourself. And when you pay attention to those things, it makes you more accident prone. And that's that. It may sound like a minor thing, but it can pay off. The world is becoming more accident prone. More and more people are experiencing those bigger experiences of awareness. But why wait? Why wait for that to happen when there's so much richness, so much mystery, so much beauty in the awareness that's here right now, as you're hearing these words. Tonight, I'd like to focus a little bit more on the quality of space. Just like awareness, space is fundamental to every experience. There's always space. In fact, I challenge you, just like last week, I challenge you to find a moment where there's no awareness. I challenge you to find some place where there's no space, where there's zero space. It's not within the realm of possibility. Any experience, at least within manifest reality, it always involves space. And you know, what is space? It doesn't have to be anything that mysterious or that unknowable. It's really just the fact that our experience has dimensions. There's you know, three basic dimensions. If you sense right now or check in front of you, there's space in front of you and space behind you that forms one dimension. And there's probably some space to the right and left of you, because even if there's a wall there, that wall is in space. And beyond the wall is more space. And then above you and below you. Those make up the, you know, very simply the three dimensions of ordinary space. And then time's kind of an interesting thing. One way of considering time, being curious about time, is to consider it as another kind of more subtle dimension of space that stretches out behind you and ahead of you through time. And there's probably even more dimensions, especially for someone who has, in a moment has a more sensitive awareness, a psychic ability or something like that. But again, just like it doesn't have to be a big experience of space, it doesn't have to be some special psychic experience of multi-dimensions. Just the basic three dimensions, or if you include time, four dimensions, that they're actually utterly mysterious and miraculous. I mean, why is there this thing called space? Where did it come from? Where does it come from? Why is there so much of it? It goes on forever. And you just can't run out. Everywhere you go, there's this infinite space just stretching out. You know, go out at night and look up at the stars and ponder how much space that really is. A good way of giving a sense of how much space is here, this ordinary three-dimensional space. If you actually calculate this, if you actually calculate the movements of our planet, so the rotation, you know, at night and day is the planet rotates around its axis. And then there's the movement of the whole planet around the sun, which creates the seasons. You know, the whole planet revolves around the sun. And then it turns out, you know, the whole galaxy is kind of is revolving. And so our sun is revolving in a great big circle around the center of the galaxy. And then it also turns out that the galaxy is part of an expanding universe, so all of the galaxies are moving apart from each other like a balloon being blown up. If there's two dots on the balloon, they keep moving further and further apart. If you add up all of those movements, all of that motion, and calculate it, we, right this moment, while you're sitting, you know, just listening to this group talk here together, this little exploration, we are all traveling at over 1,000,000 miles an hour. We're like, I mean, we should all have seatbelts on our chairs, because we are going really fast through space. So, like, right now, you are actually 1,000,000 miles away from where you were an hour ago. And you're like billions or trillions of miles away from where you were like a year ago or 10 years ago. It's an unimaginable amount of space that you have traversed in the last hour or year or several years. And guess what? We haven't run into anything. We're flying through space at 1,000,000 miles an hour. Thank God there's so much space, because we haven't even, you know, we haven't, fortunately, haven't, we haven't run into anything yet. So it's this I mean, it's this totally mysterious thing that there's so much of it and that it's so empty and accepting and allowing. And at the same time, space is ordinary. It's totally ordinary, everyday experience. We walk through it all the time. We take it for granted. We sit in it all the time. Even you don't even have to move, you still are taking up space when you're just sitting there. And so we take it for granted, just like most of the time we kind of take air for granted. It's just there. We just breathe it. We don't always pay a lot of attention to it. And we have the same tendency to take space for granted. But I invite you right now to actually really notice the space. Notice the space right there in front of you. Notice that your body also has kind of dimension, so it's present in space. And of course, like every other object, if you understand the nature of atoms and molecules, you know, it turns out that our bodies are 99.99999% space. You know, it's just an energetic appearance that it looks like an object, but it's really space, both inside, outside, and outside of our body. And there's nothing really different about the space that we're sitting in and the space right next to us or right in front of us. But what is it like? What is the space right here, right now, that's always here? What's it like? Does it have anything specific you can say about it? Like a specific quality or texture or something like that? Or is it actually remarkable because it has no qualities? There's nothing about space that you can see. You can't see the space itself. You can't touch the space itself. You can't hear it. It is an absence of color and shape and texture and sound and flavor and smell. All those things can appear in it, but the space itself doesn't have those qualities. And in that sense, it's similar to awareness. Awareness is something you can't actually see awareness or hear awareness. And yet, both space and awareness are undeniably here. It has to be in order for there to be anything. For anything else to exist, there also has to be space. And it turns out for any experience to happen, there has to be awareness. Now, you know, to like a purely logical mind, it may even seem kind of pointless to therefore to talk about it. Like why make a big deal about something that has no qualities, that just has this kind of abstract thing called dimension. An even more abstract thing called time. That time is the fourth dimension of space. It's like, you know, it doesn't seem like there's that much there to really get excited about. And yet, ice cream may seem more interesting. Regina just said, ice cream may seem more interesting when you're hungry, especially. So here it is, this like kind of nondescript, except for its dimensionality, this nondescript openness, spaciousness. And yet, in actually just focusing on the presence of space, on the simple fact that space is here, it can open up our experience to include this context that everything else occurs in that we call space, this container for everything else. It's limitless. It's soft. I often say soft, that space is the softest thing in the whole universe. There's nothing softer. Falling through space, there's no resistance. Total acceptance, total embrace. That's just the nature of something that empty. I used to often joke that, you know, falling is only a problem if there's something called the ground. But the inner experience of falling, the inner experience of not landing anywhere, is great because you're just falling through space. It's like the million miles an hour. It's no problem, the fact that we're going a million miles an hour, because there's nothing out there to run into. And so there's no problem if you have a sense of things, of not landing, of being in a kind of free fall energetically, because you're free falling through this soft, ever-present capacity for experience that we call space and awareness. Now, noticing space and or, you know, time, as a quality of space, an aspect of space, if you focus on space, strangely enough, everything else can be put more into perspective. Everything's suddenly not such a big deal. It's kind of like if you get a little dent in your car, and someone points out to you that, hey, you know, it's really small. You can't even see it if you're, you know, 3 feet away and you got this big, beautiful car. It still looks great. You know, it puts it into perspective. Oh, right, it's just a little dent and it's way down there at the bottom of the bumper. You know, it's no big deal. And so, again, relative to the night sky, when you step outside and you look up and there's this infinite vastness, then is anything really a big deal in your kind of daily life? I mean, that's an extreme example of space putting something into perspective, but it gives a sense of this capacity that noticing or recognizing space can put all kinds of things back into perspective. So I'd like to invite you to just, you know, just kind of follow along. It's nothing really much you have to do, but just follow along this little experiment or exercise. And very simply, first thing, just notice something in the room. And for the exercise, this first thing probably is best if it's just something neutral. You know, a neutral object, a pencil or a pen or a box of Kleenex or piece of furniture, something that you also have kind of a neutral relationship to, that you know you have no strong feelings about. And now, well, you still keep noticing the object. The object's still here, but now give it space. And the simplest way to give something space, really, you know, it's not like you have to go out and get a snow shovel and start shoveling space onto the object. I'm looking at a box of Kleenex right now. I don't need to put anything else onto the box of Kleenex. I can give it space by simply noticing that there's space for it. If it's here, I guarantee you there is space for it. No matter how big or small an object you picked, if it's already here, there's space for it. Now notice that space the object is in, and also notice there's space around it. Notice that just like your body a few moments ago, there's actually space above it and below it and to either side. Again, you may, even if you have to go through a wall or a piece, a table that it's sitting on, there's always space all around it. And simply notice when you're also paying attention to the space around the object, notice how that changes or affects your experience of the object. It may be very subtle, a very slight difference in just how you experience the object. There may be, again, a sense of it not being the whole story, things being a little bit more in perspective about that object. It may not seem as important, as significant. And you know, as you're paying attention to this object, there's actually lots of space around it. There's all the space in the room you're in. And there's even all the space beyond the walls. That even if you can't see it right now or, you know, experience it directly, you can probably still sense that there's a lot of space beyond the walls. And so notice how, again, how your experience of a simple object, like a box of Kleenex, how it changes or is affected if at the same time you're experiencing or noticing all the space in your neighborhood. It's like, talk about it suddenly not being a very big deal relative to, you know, your entire neighborhood, or maybe even like the entire planet. This box of Kleenex is a pretty small deal. It hasn't changed. It doesn't even have to go away. Especially, it doesn't have to go away now that I'm experiencing all of that space also. And so now pick another object, or a sensation, even possibly something that's not so neutral, but maybe something a little challenging or uncomfortable. If there's even the slightest little discomfort in your body, that's a great one. And simply, again, notice that there's space for that body part and even for the sensation, for the energetic neural activity that we call sensation, that we might label as discomfort. Simply notice there's space for it and space all around it. And once again, just check, does that shift your experience? And once more, what if you include noticing a lot of space along with continue? You don't have to, again, you don't have to deny or ignore the sensation that's present. But notice how the experience changes simply by also paying attention to the actually infinite space. But, you know, you may not need to go that big. Even if you just notice the space in the room, all of a sudden, that sensation is small potatoes. And you can do this with your whole body. Sense the space that your body occupies and the space all around your body. And simply notice how does that shift your experience of having a body in this moment, if you include space, include the larger dimensions of space that are present right now. And you can kind of play with this, like, what if it's something, you know, something that's actually troubling you a lot, a situation in your life, a stronger sensation or condition in your body that is more than just uncomfortable, or just a thought, a story that comes up a lot about your life and some difficulty, some problem, as we call them. You can first notice it. Notice there's space for it. You know, a good thing about stories, about thoughts, is that they actually don't take up that much space. In a sense, they all fit between your ears. So even the most problematic problem, the biggest story you have going about, oh no, oh God, what am I going to do, and you know, all of those thoughts, there's space for them. And they don't even take that much space. And, you know, it's something like that. The more space you give it, the more you notice that there's a lot of space around your thoughts or around a painful sensation. The more it will shift. The more it will change the context of the experience without actually having to change the experience. So everything affects everything else. So this noticing of space can actually even change the sensation. It can change the course of the story. If you're seeing a story, a thought stream, if you're seeing it actual size, and it's suddenly not so important anymore, it may just, you know, naturally, spontaneously kind of peter out or not have as much energy behind it, simply because you're noticing space. And you can, you can do the same thing with time, by the way. Again, time is like a fourth dimension of space. And so if there's a problem, something unfolding in your life right now that is challenging, and for a moment you just sense this infinite expanse of time that your life is unfolding within. Even sometimes just, you know, noticing that, you know, a year ago maybe that problem wasn't a problem, and a year from now it most likely won't be a problem. So you just have to expand the sense of time a little bit, and it puts it into perspective. It gives you something larger to experience it within. I'd like to point to a very specific experience that it's really just feelings or emotions. Sometimes feelings or emotions are actually only difficult because they can be so big. And a great example, you know, the feeling can be really big and we try to hold them inside a smaller space. A great example is anger. Anger is just energetically a very big, expansive energy. It actually is connected to our essential strength, and it's this, you know, a really big experience of anger or strength can be like a giant volcano. It just can get really, really big. It's the nature of it. It's not good or bad. It's just like a volcano can be very big. However, if we are holding this, you know, this very strong sense that I am the body, I am, my dimension, my sense of self is the size of this body, and then there's this really, really big energy, and yet I am the body and I am angry, so there can be this tendency to almost like hold the anger in, keep it contained inside your body. And right now I'm kind of squeezing my fists and scrunching up my shoulders, you know, holding in the energy. And that's the only problem is that the anger is bigger than your body. And so if you give it space, if you just let it be bigger than your body, and possibly, again, bigger than the neighborhood, bigger than the entire state or country you are in, then you can discover that that energy, that quality, or that experience, that there's no problem with it. It's only a problem, you know, if you squeeze it down inside your body and then it gets very explosive. But if it's okay, if your anger can be bigger than the entire state of Arizona, then there's no problem. It's just this big, hot, red energy. In fact, often that's when it does shift or transform into more of the essential quality of strength, which is a less fundamental but still, always available aspect of our true nature. And by the way, you don't have to only, and by the way, this works great with sadness, with all kinds of, you know, what you might think of as difficult emotions. You know, some sadness is like encompasses the whole world. It's a, you know, objective sense of the pain and the suffering that's present. And when you sense that much pain and that much suffering, it's a problem if the container is your body, if the container is this identity as I am the body. But if you let it be as big as it needs to be, hey, you know, it's not, it's still sad. It's still sadness, just like anger is connected to connected to strength. Sadness is connected to our essential compassion. And so often if you let the sadness be big, give it lots of space, notice all the space that's here for it, then it can reveal itself to be really a quality of our tenderness, our compassion, our capacity to hold that much sadness. And I was starting to say, you don't have to only do this with a difficult or painful experience or emotion. You can also do it with love or peace or joy. So you might notice any love that's present right now. Just focus on love that you have for a person, for a pet, a dog or a cat. Or love for nature, love for God, love for the truth. And just like anger and sadness, love can be immense. Love can be a very, very large experience. It has a lot of dimension to it. And then give it space. Simply notice there's room here for love that's bigger. Then actually even love is bigger than anything you can imagine. There's always more space. So I invite you to play with space this way. Just give it away to all kinds of things. Just find out how it shifts experience to notice the space around it. And you know, when it comes to space, we're all like multi-billionaires. You know, if you were a multi-billionaire, you could be really casual about money. You could just give it away all the time. You know, walk down the street and every homeless person, you hand them a couple thousand, you know, 10,000, who cares, you know. And it's like, because you recognize there's like way more than you could ever want or need. But that's the way we all are with this quality. It's true of awareness, it's true of space, it's true of discrimination, it's true of our oneness. But space is really wonderful for giving perspective to your experience and allowing big energetic experiences like anger or sadness or joy to room to expand and become their actual size, their natural size. So this is a very practical exploration, which again, the whole point is to bring you more in touch with this ever-present quality of your being, in part so that you're present when it does open up spontaneously, when you are suddenly having a very spacious experience of awareness. But before I open it up for questions, I'm looking at the clock and I have a little more time, so I'd like to speak a little bit. This is kind of another subtle aspect of the experience of space. Since space is so profoundly empty, so silent, so still, so like I said earlier, no qualities. It's not much there for your mind really to focus on, except for that strange sense of it being big, or having, you know, or whether it's big or small, it's some size. It having size would be an even more fundamental way of seeing it. And yet there's nothing to it other than its bigness or smallness. And so as a result, from the perspective of our mind, from the perspective of our kind of conditioning, space can sometimes seem like something that's actually lacking, like it's deficient, like there's something missing, or it should be, you know, something that should be here is not here. It's kind of, space itself can sometimes feel like an empty stomach, like something is missing. It can be, you know, it could be that it feels boring, like there's no excitement, there's no, you know, there's a lack of something. Or it can be kind of dry, and or lonely, or quiet. It can be too quiet. It can also seem to be lacking a very particular quality. So it can feel like there's an absence of love, an absence of strength, an absence of clarity. And especially when it's a very particular quality like that, like an absence of love, it can be felt, it can be experienced as a hole, and I mean a H-O-L-E, like an empty hole in your body or in your being. It's possible that, you know, everyone on this listening in has had an experience where it felt like they were lacking love. Where you know, someone you were attracted to was not reciprocating, and there's this like lack, this emptiness, this deficiency, and it feels like there's a hole in your heart, an H-O-L-E hole. And so often, you know, our response to that kind of emptiness is we want to do something really quick to fill it up, or at least distract us, get us away from that feeling of deficiency, of something missing, lacking. And so we overlook the opportunity to once again simply pay attention to the actual emptiness, to the direct sensation of nothing, of absence. You know, when you're looking for your car keys and you open up a drawer and there's nothing in the drawer, you don't usually spend that long still looking in that drawer. You don't like kind of stand there and really get in touch with the space inside the drawer. And yet, with these empty spaces, these holes or places of lacking or missing in our being, there's an even stranger kind of possibility. That if you stay with just focusing your attention on that hole, then often the quality that was felt to be missing, like the love in the hole in your heart, or strength in the hole of weakness, the quality that was initially felt to be missing often can arise in that space. It's similar to the experience when you walk from a brightly lit room into a totally dark room, and at first you can't see a damn thing. It's just dark. You can't even see your hand right in front of your face. And yet, if you stay, if you keep staring into that inky blackness, your eyes wide open, then after a while your eyes adjust, and you can just start to make out the furniture in the room. The little bit of, even just a little bit of starlight coming in through a crack in the curtains. As in this case, your physical senses adjust, you start to see what's there. And as you adjust, as your inner senses adjust to these empty places that feel like they're missing something, like they're lacking something, often what you actually find in that space is the quality that felt like it was missing. It's a total shock. I've had this experience many times now, and I'm always totally surprised that it's actually there. Because these, you know, more specific qualities of our true nature, like love and joy and peace, all of this comes out of this profound mystery of being. So the potential for them is always, always present, just like awareness and space are always, always present. And so it's often just a question of staying with the sense of lack. In fact, the sense of lack, the reason it feels like it's lacking, is because on some even more subtle level, you're connected to that. There's something in your experience that's calling that quality forward. So it may not, that love may not come from the person that you've just fallen head over heels in love with, but it is actually already here in the hole in your heart. Space or being, space is actually a limitless potential, a limitless capacity for things like love and peace and joy and strength. And of course, awareness, even more fundamentally, awareness and aliveness. And actually, ultimately, all of the subtle and gross manifestations that we experience in this world, in this life, it all comes out of this one source, this one beingness. And so space is a wonderful, wonderful aspect of your true nature to focus on, because it's so subtle. It is so empty. It is so silent that it is a very open doorway. Those places of emptiness in your being are these extremely open doorways, extremely open windows into the more subtle capacities, the more subtle qualities of your true nature. So rather than being a problem, you know, when you feel really lacking or empty or something's missing, it's like, oh my gosh, I wonder what's in there. You can get really curious, like, what's inside that? What happens if I go through that empty space? Go into that empty space, taste it, smell it, feel it, listen to it, stare into it, all with your subtle senses, not just with your physical senses. But give it your attention. And again, you may find that the thing that seemed missing is actually present in the space itself. Is a capacity, a potential within the space itself. You don't have to go out for it, you can go in for it. And the last thing I'll say before opening for questions, I just want to stress again, these are not just qualities of space or qualities of awareness, but really they're qualities of you. Space and awareness and even love and joy and peace, they're all here either in manifestation or in potential. They're all here right now. And, you know, it may be kind of obvious, but it so happens that you are here right now. And by the way, it doesn't matter, again, just like it doesn't matter how big an experience of space or awareness, right? For this purpose, it doesn't matter how big an experience of yourself you're having. Even if it's a very contracted, extremely identified, egoic experience of your mind or your ego or your body, that sense of self is here right now. And if it happens to open up and expand and soften and dissolve, and you have an experience of self that is not so defined, not so limited, not so small, it still feels like there's an I am. There's a sense of self that is present. So you notice, you know, space, awareness, love, joy, peace, aliveness, discrimination, oneness, they're always here. And there's this other thing that's always here, and that's you. I challenge you to find a moment where there's no sense of self. Again, whether it's contracted or expanded, it still is a sense of self. When it gets really expanded, it's hard to call it me anymore. It doesn't make sense to call it me or Nirmala or Regina or, you know, some a name anymore, because like if my sense of self is bigger than the planet, it seems kind of grandiose to call that Nirmala, but it still is a sense of self. So all these qualities are always present, and the sense of self is always present. That's because they are qualities of you. It makes perfect sense that they're always present. If you're always present, then that's what they're qualities of, yourself. That's what you are. So again, that puts it in an even bigger perspective. what's the truth about space or love or joy? It's you. Again, whether it's a big experience or a small experience, it's still equally rich, equally available for exploration, equally worthwhile to explore, to be curious about. So, I think I'll just open it up now for questions. You can either raise your hand or take advantage of the typing. Anything about space, anything about awareness, emptiness. Or you can share, somebody has something to share about, you know, their experience they had, like with the experiments that we were just doing. Oh, Regina. So I guess
there you go, you did it, you let go of the mic. Yeah, when you first started speaking about space and the way you're speaking about space tonight, it wasn't easy for me to contemplate it. You know, I spend a lot of time contemplating awareness. So last week when you were contemplating awareness, it was very easy for me to just join in. But I found a bit of a challenge in shifting to the contemplation of space. Except until, in my case, when you had us looking at an object and then you expanded by saying, you know, imagine how much space in the neighborhood, you know, that's around that object. And I happen to live in the desert. And from my back porch, you can see about 75 miles, and there's almost no trees here. So there's a lot of space here, you know, within the visual realm. I didn't have to imagine outer space, which was going into imagination. I could just go into memory of the visual space, not that you can see space, but the visual space here. And as soon as I was able to think of the space in my neighborhood, the rest of what you shared became quite profound, actually. For instance, right now, you know, I'm a person who gets tired early in the evening. I'm a very early morning person. I could wake up at 3:30, 4, 5, but, you know, on the other end of that, 7, which is 7:51 my time, you know, sleepiness starts shifting into my mind. And so, you know, when the sleepiness was shifting in, there was at first this feeling of, oh, I don't want to be sleepy. I want to be paying attention. I want to be listening. But then when I was able to look at that sleepiness and contemplate the space, the sleepiness literally became a very small object. And it also became meaningless. And as it became a very small object and very meaningless because it was in space, to some degree it went away. I actually, it was replaced by alertness. So I just wanted to share that, and I wanted to say thank you for this new contemplation. Also, you know, when you were speaking about the emotions, like anger or even love, but, you know, anger or sadness, and, you know, when it feels within the body, we try to hold it in, but if we just allow it, of course, I know you're in Sedona, and so the anger, you know, anger kind of seems fiery red, and I could just see the anger just kind of coming at, you know, shifting out of the body like it's not being held in, and it just goes out and it just merges with the redness of the rocks. You know, I was able to see that, and I was able to see it just kind of diffusing as we just allow it to expand in the space. And that reminded me of a verse in the Tao Te Ching that says something like, if you want to lose something, first you must let it expand. So instead of getting all contracted with the anger or the sadness, just allowing it to drift into the space and just allowing it to go and go and go until it naturally diffuses. So I just wanted to thank you, Nirmala, because space contemplation in that way that you introduced it tonight is new for me, and I also saw the usefulness of it once you invited my neighborhood into the contemplation. All right, releasing the mic.
Okay, there, I got the mic back. So, yeah, I'll just say a couple things about that. First of all, your initial experience is very, very typical. Space is such a subtle and yet ordinary every moment experience that we naturally tend to just overlook it, take it for granted. I often say I've become more like a connoisseur of space, kind of like somebody who, you know, has become a connoisseur of anything, connoisseur of wine, a connoisseur of music, a certain kind of music. You know, you taste more, you hear more, you see more of anything you've given that quality of attention to. And so when you do that with space, it becomes a very rich exploration. And that's great what you said about your having a physical experience of space, the distance of the view that you have from your house gave you a reference point. And you know, anyone can go out and look up at the night sky, you know, or go someplace like the ocean, the top of a hill or a mountain. You know, if you're lucky enough to live in Arizona, you can go to the Grand Canyon, and that will give you a direct experience of space that is almost incomprehensible. When you stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon, your mind can't actually keep up with what your physical senses are taking in, and it's because there is so much defined space. It's still defined by all those canyons and side canyons and that huge big hole in the ground, and yet what's in the hole is space. So thanks for that sharing. Those were both good points, that this can be a acquired taste. It's not necessarily, it's kind of like those really stinky cheeses that, you know, if somebody gives you a piece of really stinky cheese and you go, this is food, you know, but then if you kind of stick it out and explore it and you know, maybe try it with a good salty cracker so that it cuts the taste a little bit and you get used to it. And space is definitely that way. Space is, it can be a little frightening when it's first recognized and felt if you're not familiar with that experience. And over time, you can develop an appreciation for it, a love for space. I think there might be time for one more quick question, one more anything anybody has to share. I'll just mention that, you know, we'll be back again next. Oh, there's someone. I'll let go of the mic. Oops, didn't work.
Hi, I only caught part of this today because I had to work, but beyond that, I guess when you're speaking about space, that feels still to me like such a abstract concept in some ways, that it feels far down the list as, of things that I'm interested in contemplating, for instance. That's just an honest admission. I mean, it certainly seems as if everything is within space, occurring within this concept of space, but it doesn't feel like such a visceral thing for me. It just feels more like beyond my present understanding. But I'm not in any way saying that I don't appreciate you speaking to that. So that's really my only comment. And thanks for joining with us in doing this. I appreciate it. And I'll release the mic.
Yeah, so I would just say again, it's an incredibly subtle dimension, aspect of our experience, as is awareness. And it, in some ways, for that reason, it's actually very rich. And not just in terms of the experience of space itself, but also what I was talking about right at the end there, where I said that space is a very open doorway, a very open passageway or window into deeper dimensions of our true nature. And so that's often what, eventually inspires that kind of attitude of a connoisseur towards space, is because you start to get glimpses of some of the limitless potential that space actually is, for all kinds of dimensions and experiences beyond what you could ever have imagined. So I'll let the mic go. I think Regina probably needs to wrap things up.
Yeah, Nirmala, thank you very much for coming again. I really appreciate it. I enjoy very much sitting and listening and contemplating as you guide us to contemplate. I think you know, I think I talked to you about this, that I love the way you lead us through experience, that you lead us through contemplation. And that's what I really value about your style. So thank you very much for doing that again this evening. I'd like to remind everyone that you can support the current mini-series with a donation at awakeningtogether.org under the donate menu, and then the current mini-series option on that menu. And I've also given a link right here in the room. And, of course, 100% of the donations will go to Nirmala as a part of our appreciation. And as Nirmala said, he'll be back here next week and also the week after that at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 6 p.m. Pacific. And I have also recorded this, and I will post this audio, and it will come out on tomorrow's daily update. Plus, you'll be able to find it under the audios menu, under the guest mini-series link. So it's available to listen to. So thank you very much, Nirmala. And now I am going to turn the mic over to Larry, who is here to lead us through another contemplation, the contemplation of our daily quote. Larry, the mic is yours.